Welcome back, everybody, to the Deep Thought Podcast. My name is Yusuf, and today I'm joined with everybody. So I guess I'll just start from my right over here. We got Mertkoon.
You.
We got Mendy.
What's up, guys?
We got Mozzie Meister.
Yo.
We got Sir Doozy.
Hey, what's up?
We got Cirque the Turk.
What's up?
We got Humit.
What's up?
And last but not least, we got Engin.
Damn, not least. What's up?
Full house. So, yeah, we got a full house, guys. Everyone's here. We're all in person. I don't know if this is going to be the first episode I actually release or it's going to be the previous one. Probably the previous one. But we're going to try to stockpile some stuff. I don't know. Anyways.
It's the Deep Thought comeback.
Yes. We're already on the verge of coming back. And I've already done it 40 times. I'm just kidding. Anyways. So how's everybody doing? Everyone chill? Anything eventful happened today? Anyone want to speak about anything?
Got a sick pump today at the gym, you know.
What'd you do? Arms, legs, back?
Nah, we hit some chest.
Damn. Chest. What you bench press?
Say Monday. Let's not talk about that.
Why? You didn't hit anything good?
Nah, let's not talk about
that. All right. Okay. Anyways.
A solid 135 out of Emirates today.
Didn't you guys have work today?
Nah, it's been a minute.
Wait, where did you work out?
Crunch.
Crunch?
They're open right
Bruh.
Now.
Wait.
Going against protocol.
In Pennsylvania?
Yeah.
Dude, that's illegal.
Reservations only.
I'm going to report them to the Better Business Bureau.
Which is also for
Better Business Bureau is not a real thing. You know that, right?
I know.
Like, it's not a government. I
always keep getting calls. They're just like, I'm with the small... Or no, I'm with the Better Business Bureau. And like, I don't care, buddy. And then just hang up.
Yeah, they're not a real thing. That's like a thing that people think is like related to the government, but it's not. Like, it's literally a private organization that takes bribes to
What you're saying is false, because you're saying it's not real, even though it is real. I mean, not affiliated with the government.
It's not real, but people are always like, I'm gonna contact the Better Business Bureau, but they can't do shit. Like,
are birds real?
I had a pretty cool day.
No,
so
bro,
I woke
they're
up
just government spies.
So it's not what we think it is. It's all pigeon walking in New York. That was very awkward.
You did not go to New York today, did you?
Not today. pigeons don't fly in New York.
So yes, they do.
Mendy, you were saying something?
Look, we already had the conspiracies podcast, so let's just not go into that.
Yeah, I was. Thank you, Serdar. I was saying that I woke up this morning, and then
what'd you do?
Okay,
he just said he woke up.
Well, what'd you do afterwards?
After I woke up, I went on my phone as usual. I checked my Maple story, made sure I did all my dungeons.
Let's get it, bro. How many cards you got?
How many cards? there's no cards in Maple story.
Bro, you were telling us the other day, like, you got to get your 40 free cards.
Oh, no, that's a freaking ad on YouTube for AFK Arena.
Bro. Fuck that game.
So I did that, and then had breakfast. I had kefta with... Which is pretty much like Turkish meatballs, I guess. And then also potatoes.
Do you have that for breakfast? Interesting.
Yeah, I had it for breakfast. I mean,
that's pretty heavy, I would say.
Yeah.
I had ramen for breakfast today. But
no way. No shot.
It's more so just like leftovers from dinner.
Ramen, or maybe you had like brunch noodles, like around 12, I would say, maybe.
Actually, that's pretty spot on.
Okay.
Yes,
no,
I actually did
fair.
Have brunch. There you go.
At 12?
I mean, like, cooked at 12.
So then 11, that would 30, be 12-ish. Lunch. That would be lunch.
Yeah, like lunch, brunch.
Brunch isn't brunch like 10, 11?
No, it's breakfast for lunch.
I'm not going to go into that.
Well, technically it's breakfast, because breakfast is just classified as the first meal you eat after you wake up.
True.
Because
it's
breaks your fast.
Yeah, it's the meal you break your fast.
Yeah.
So, technically it's breakfast.
Oh, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
I was like, what are these guys saying? And then I like put two and two together.
But if we want to go off a time zone, then not time zone.
We're Eastern
timeline?
Eastern time zone?
If you're eating at noon, you're probably considered brunch, but... but yeah,
that's cute. Once it hits 11, it's lunchtime, bro.
Nah, 11 is 12. Yeah.
Honestly,
12.
When I'm working, if it hits 11, it's lunch. But if I'm not working, then 11's not.
I think actually 11 is the hour, because whenever you go to like food places, like restaurants and like fast food joints, breakfast usually ends at 11.
Yeah, like 11, 11:15. Yeah.
But then it goes into brunch.
But I consider it 12.
But it goes into. I do too.
But then at my work, I get my lunch break at 12.
Exactly. So there you go. Exactly.
Damn.
I think, in my opinion, 11 a.m. like a.m. just doesn't feel right with lunch. So.
No, I agree. Yeah, a.m. is more of a breakfast thing. I feel.
That's a good point.
Damn, that's crazy. What about Clubhouse, Mert? When did you guys serve breakfast until?
I think it's until 11 a.m. Right.
11.
Clubhouse did breakfast 24/7.
Yeah, but they had like
shout out Melinda.
They never stopped.
But they had like special deals on
like Benedict's. Right,
it's like from 8 to 11.
Poached eggs and
or
Benedict's.
6 to 11.
Those eggs used to be like $2. You know, they were pretty cheap. Honestly, pretty good quality. Not gonna lie.
Melinda's the manager.
You didn't get. We didn't pick you up. Say that again, bro.
I said shout out Melinda.
Yo, it's Melinda. Wasn't it? Actually, I don't want to say anything because we're name dropping here. Yeah, I mean, I used to work at Clubhouse. It was a nice place.
Who's all worked at Clubhouse here?
I think everybody besides
the first.
The
I think half of
I
us.
Was the second.
Yeah.
Yeah, about half of us.
Yeah, it was me, Emmett, Emre, Mert. That's pretty much it. And you didn't join, did you?
No.
So it's really half.
Yeah, half of us. It was a pretty shitty time there, to be honest.
That's just the restaurant.
Why did you all work there? Were the owners Turkish or something, or what?
He was
Egyptian. He's Egyptian, but he was a chill guy. So, and they were always looking for new servers and new employees. So
yeah.
Plus, I mean, Yusuf job hops like a motherfucker.
I know.
So
does Emery, to be fair. I probably had like 5 or 6 jobs in the past.
Actually, I've literally had 2.
That's not too bad.
What's the longest you worked in one job that doesn't involve painting?
Probably Burlington Coat Factory.
No way.
Yes. Because I remember, like, I do a pretty good job of...
them discounts, though.
Yeah, right? I do a pretty good job of remembering, like, my yearly anniversary, whatever you want to call it, quote, unquote. And, like, I remember Burlington Coat Factory is the only place I actually worked where I actually passed the one-year mark. Everywhere else, I either quit right before for whatever reason or... Actually, yeah, I just quit. I never got fired. But, yeah. Oh, the co-factor was fine.
Did you ever get fired from any job?
Shit.
That's something personal.
Nah, I never. That is personal, but I've never gotten fired.
I mean, it's just something to talk about. Okay.
Well, I'll tell you what to talk about today. I had Chick-fil-A,
ooh,
and I consider that like it's very beautiful. Not fast food, but like luxury fast food.
Honestly, that's a good point
trash.
Though.
Now, Cirque, my brother Cirque is a heretic.
I despise
Chick-fil-A.
Dude, he
are you?
Why is
he
that,
is crazy.
It's because he's gay, bro.
No, I'm just kidding. Let's not. That's
because I'm not Christian. And
he can't
well, that doesn't make sense because I know plenty of people from school who actually still go to Chick-fil-A even though they don't support their cause. So I was like, you know,
do you want to say something about that, Sardar?
What do I have to say? Elaborate.
Anyways,
my brother is a heretic. He does not like Chick-fil-A somehow. Although my sister and I love it. You know, every day. Not every day.
Do you genuinely not like the food there, Cirque?
Yeah, I don't. I used to. And then, like, the only thing I can get from there is fries, pretty much.
Dude, their fries are banging.
Dude, yeah, their chicken is banging.
What was that chicken sandwich, was that Popeye's?
Yeah.
Popeye's chicken sandwich is fire.
Dude, the first time I had that,
still haven't had that.
It's amazing.
Neither have I. What?
It's good, but it's not as good as those lines made it out to be. Like, that was just overrated.
Yeah, it was pretty
it's
know,
good, but
honestly,
excited,
honestly, I think the hype.
I'm not gonna answer that. It was pretty good.
I think it was overhyped.
Honestly, dude, that I don't think it was overhyped, bro. I think it was underhyped.
If you think it's that good, how many times have you had it?
Once.
That's a great question. Once.
Dang, if it was that good, you would have had it a second time.
Exactly. Right,
it was
exactly.
So good, but the thing is, I just don't eat out as much. And Popeye's is always out of the way.
Popeye's is good, but...
people spend time on things that they want.
Right. Damn.
Yeah, it just shows how much you're dedicated to the podcast, brother.
Oh.
Shots fired.
Yo.
My ears. Who did that?
I'll take that.
Bro, Emma's just getting roasted by me left and right today.
He all signed right. up for it, to be fair.
But I want to go back to an important thing that Sardar said. He said he said luxury fast food. And I do think that you guys probably agree with me that even fast foods alone have their own tiers of like quality. Like, if you want to go and, like, get, like, the cheapest thing, you got, like, $2 in your pocket. Not even that. You got $1 in your pocket, and you want something that's going to fill you up, you're going to go to McDonald's, probably, or Burger King,
$1.06.
$1.06, if you're in Pennsylvania.
Can't ignore tax.
Yeah. Just go to fucking Delaware then.
Government's always got to get their cut.
But anyways, yeah. So yeah, like, I mean, would you guys agree? Would you guys say pretty much like McDonald's and Burger King's like the cheap of the fast food? Like the lower rung of the fast food?
Yeah, definitely.
I mean, yeah, I also agree with that for sure.
Which
yeah.
is nothing wrong with that, you know? It comes yeah, in clutch sometimes.
They,
you know?
they ever, like, both McDonald's and Burger King, they have their own target yeah, market, right?
Which is basically most of the world, I think.
But, I also just want to say, I mean, we're already into this, but we're in a little bit of a janky setup, so we're trying to make do best as we can. But hopefully that doesn't hinder anything.
5 mics, 3 of them are shared by 2 people each.
Yeah,
so,
we have some people sharing. So
you may hear some kissing.
Yeah.
We're so. Not obeying COVID.
Not for me, though. COVID
my mic has a mask on it, so we're good.
I've been tested.
Actually, I have also been tested.
I think COVID was 10 people per indoor, and we're only 8, so I think Dang. We are well, good.
What about your family?
I was this is a twice. Separate people, entity as far as building goes.
True. This is a partition.
Yes, it's COVID. I seceded from my household.
It's a CDC regulated basement.
have you guys ever had Shake Shack? I think that's yes. probably S tier yeah, so, fast food.
So we'll get to that in a minute. Let's start going up the rung. So we got the what tier would you guys put Burger King, McDonald's? I wouldn't say trash.
I wouldn't
tier.
Say F.
I would say last place, but Wawa. Honestly, I count Wawa food as fast food. But that's
I would
like
put Wawa
quality.
Higher. Yeah, yeah. So let's start with the lower quality stuff. So Burger right. King and McDonald's. What would you guys say it was?
I would say D. Burger King and McDonald's are on the lower part.
I would say
However,
D as well. D
yeah, let's go with D. However,
put Taco
I've probably
there
been there the most out of all fast food places.
It's like a pyramid.
So it's kind of weird.
That's different. Well, I mean,
it's like a pyramid.
The thing is, Correct. Like, I mean, I don't know about like your personal
like
reasons why.
Marketing.
But the thing is, most people go there because it's cheap.
Is I mean, that, yes, you say it's, that's it's why? Definitely, I always get the value menu stuff, and it's always those two restaurants, always, that for sure send out coupons to your houses.
That's true, too.
Exactly.
So you just, not only is it cheap, but you're also just getting even more with the coupons. So yeah. it's just like, you're just feeling hungry, you don't really care about the taste too much, and all fast food in general
in
just tastes like decent or good,
it.
So.
Yeah.
Wait, like, what's F tier then? What'd you say? What's like last place?
I would say the last place.
I don't know what's worse than McDonald's.
The thing is, like, I don't think there's, it would
Chipotle?
Have to be like a, it would have to be a small mom and pop
has
shop.
To be,
Chipotle's good, dude.
No.
Chipotle
can't be last
Chipotle
place.
Chipotle is garbage.
Yo,
Chipotle?
Qdoba's is worse than Chipotle.
What is that?
I've never heard of that.
I've never heard of that either. Is that fast food?
Is that Denver?
That's like a Chipotle knockoff, in my opinion.
Yeah. I would put Chipotle one tier above McDonald's and Burger King.
Yeah. So what's that?
That's
D-tier?
Farcical.
Just
kidding.
Thinking about it makes my stomach feel weird.
That's kind of weird.
I live near the OG Chipotle, the very first one ever
that
made.
That place was banging.
Fun
bro.
Fact.
Yeah, that was the first place. Garbage Chipotle.
Where's that at? Where's the original?
Denver.
That's Denver, baby, by the University of Denver.
Where's it at?
I don't remember okay. what the mascot is, but go University of Denver.
But yeah, I mean, honestly, Denver I would agree. Bucks. I would agree Chipotle is one tier above Burger King and McDonald's.
I respectfully disagree, but
I'd
to each their own.
Would you say,
yeah,
would
I would
say
put
higher?
It to up, probably.
It's top tier for me.
What?
Top tier? Yo, I do not count my
just,
brother's opinions.
Let me just
let
say
that
this.
Be known.
Let me just say this.
This kid goes to Chipotle more than me.
Yeah, but you do not like Chick-fil-A, well? And therefore I discount your opinions.
Okay, we're not going through my tier list here. Chick-fil-A is literally F tier for me.
I would put.
Chick-fil-A service is like the
A,
top
S-tier.
S-tier. S-tier.
My pleasure. Food? F food.
My
false. That is so false.
Look, I'd put Taco Bell pretty far down.
Yeah, Taco
yeah,
Bell's true.
Honestly,
pretty trash,
yes,
yeah.
I would put Taco Bell actually below McDonald's and Burger King.
Okay, I think
so
Taco Bell is
F tier.
For me.
That's
yeah.
tier, definitely.
How about KFC?
KFC? I actually KFC's never had KFC.
KFC is B tier.
B KFC's
okay.
Their popcorn chicken.
I put in the
like
same
Popeye's
tier as
Crown
McDonald's.
Their famous bowl, baby.
Yo, Crown Royal Chicken?
Crown
Isn't
Chicken?
That, Crown Chicken, is that what
yeah, that's pretty good. If we're going back to Susquehanna Avenue, Crown Chicken is probably a good C tier.
Wendy's is a little bit underrated, I'd say.
I would say
I do like Wendy's.
Yeah,
Wendy's,
yeah.
Wendy's
is nice.
Actually,
maybe
Wendy's
a little above.
Decent.
I think it's a little above.
I would probably
McDonald's.
Put Wendy's yeah. like B tier. Put Wendy's B
tier.
C tier. Definitely C tier. Have you guys ever tried Sonic? Nah. Once. I actually tried it once. What do you think of it, Angin?
I've never actually tried it.
Oh. I haven't tried it either, but I feel like it's bad.
The thing is, I've always seen it, and like they've always had like those patented like drive up, or the you park and they bring out your food or whatever.
How about that Wawa drive through? They just opened up.
Where?
Where?
In New Jersey.
Was it in New Jersey?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I saw one the other day. It's pretty cool. It's literally just for drive through. Like, you don't walk in, nothing. It's just a drive through.
Oh, I never.
That's like
I
my
never,
dream right there.
Let's go there tomorrow, boys.
That sounds pretty sick. Where in Jersey is it?
Gotta ask Sarda. I don't know where I saw. I think I saw one on Roosevelt Boulevard, but I'm not sure.
I could probably just Google Wawa drive through. But yeah, I mean, and speaking of Wawa, what would you guys put Wawa as?
S.
A tier.
S tier. Just because you can get A-tier. Everything you need at Wawa.
Honestly, just for that reason that Emra just gave, you can get almost anything. Well, yeah, almost anything when it comes to like food wise. I would put that as S-tier.
I'd say the food is a B, maybe like a well, B plus, but like because of the service, it goes S.
Yeah,
it's reliable.
So where would you put
very reliable.
Subway then?
Subway above that. Well, it depends what you're asking me. If you're
Subway
asking overall, if you're saying overall for me, Subway would be still below Wawa. What I said S for Wawa, right? So now I probably put A.
I agree.
Subway and Wawa.
Dude,
Subway
is hella overpriced.
Subway is definitely S tier though, in my opinion.
No, Subway's food is better
food quality.
Than Wawa. Yeah.
If you're comparing the sandwiches, the Wawa hoagies versus the Subway subs. Subway makes better subs, bro. Subway subs are so much better.
I don't know if they're S tier though. I think they'll be B or A. You know, that's fair.
Yeah.
I mean, like convenience wise, they're inconvenient, but still, I don't know. They only have one signature.
Like Wawa will be with you when you're up at like 2 a.m.
when you're down bad. Wawa's there for you.
Like, exactly. Subs, you know what I mean? But Wawa, you can compare it with a bunch of different things. So.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah. Because Wawa, they sell so many different things.
What do we think about the fast food pizza places?
Oh, like Pizza Hut and Domino's?
Oh, Domino's.
Rest in peace, Pizza Hut.
Yo, Pizza Hut. Rest in peace. Bro. Remember all those times at the department we'd always get a big dinner box? Yeah, that was like a staple.
Pizza Hut's chicken Alfredo was super, super underrated and low key, but probably one of their best menu items.
Yo, name every single menu item right now, ex Pizza Hut employee.
I mean, they.
Oh my god, this kid worked at Pizza Hut for like 2 days.
This kid worked for like. Was it like 2 weeks or something and then you quit?
I worked there for a week because I was in the back making pizzas with some Adidas sweatpants. And the regional manager of like 16 stores comes in. He's like, "Yo, you got sweatpants on." I'm like, "All right." He's like, "No, you got to go home and change." So I just left and I never came back.
I don't blame you. That's pretty fucking dumb.
Dude, what the fuck? But did they did the manager there not say anything? Like the supervisors?
No, they shut down. I'm kidding.
No, yeah, no, they did shut down.
They shut
place.
Down.
Yeah.
Wait, the whole all of Pizza Hut shut down?
I mean, most of them. The dining locations are closed. It's like only pickup, and it's like. Very sparse. Very sparse.
So I won. Let's just put it that way. But nah, like they had actually a really good menu. Honestly, I would eat the pizza in the back. Like I just mess up pizzas on purpose. I was bulking at the time, so I had to take advantage of that situation. But that pizza was banging.
Like,
bro. They put the garlic. They put that garlic butter on the crust.
Mm.
Just thinking.
Well,
about
you did.
It, man.
My man's acting like he's like the customer there. He's a customer and the employee.
Nah, but they're their wings pretty good.
Those
chicken
wings,
Alfredo. I mean, for a pizza place, they had a pretty wide selection. So
I would say
I put it A tier.
That big dinner box was such a great value
Clutch.
For what they gave. It's
was pretty good.
You got two large square pizzas and but more rectangle, and then you got like breadsticks with it, like 8 pieces, and then you can either get like lasagna. Was it lasagna or was it chicken Alfredo or some pasta? And then, you can get like some wings.
I feel like that was literally made for students on campus.
Pretty much,
because I know like pretty much all of my friends in my major like did the same thing. They would always talk about the party box.
Yeah,
and, whatnot.
And it's only worth like what 25 with a tax or whatever. That's such a great deal. Split that up amongst like 5 people. It's $5. But yeah, I was so upset when they shut or didn't shut down the Pizza Hut on. Temple's campus or right off campus, but they stopped doing deliveries, even though you were like you guys had the apartment. I was like 2 blocks up. They're like, "No, we don't do delivery." I'm like, "What? Like, how does
that
make
that
sense?"
That was really weird.
Yeah, they do like DoorDash now
or
something, right?
Yeah, I mean, well, nowadays yes, but what we're talking about is from over a year ago, which I thought was odd that they stopped doing.
1 year or 3 years?
What do you think about the Iran nuclear deal?
Okay.
Let's stick with fast food.
Yeah, sure. We
can
talk about
the
Iran nuclear.
No.
What's
we'll,
the pros and cons of the subject?
Please. All right, so let's move on to another place. So Sadler mentioned Shake Shack.
Yeah.
Before we get into that, quick
That's
question.
That's like Meta Knight Brawl tier right there.
Quick question. So is it so which one do you guys prefer? Shake Shack or Five Guys?
That's what I was going to mention.
Shake Shack.
I like Shake. I've never tried Five Guys, so
same.
Shake Shack.
I don't say Shake Shack, though.
I like Five Guys, but I think Shake Shack is slightly better.
Yeah.
The reason...
The fries at Five Guys aren't that good.
I think...
The Cajun
I think
fries
they're
so
terrible,
bad.
Dude.
Their burgers are really nice, but you pay like $13 for a meal there. I don't think it's...
You might as well throw your like $3 or $4 away if you're buying the fries there, bro.
Yeah. I mean, I didn't have the regular fries. I had the Cajun, and it was like...
I never tried the Cajun.
It was so weird. They still had like the potato skin on there, and like... It what's
it's
whatever
for you.
Whatever season I don't care.
No,
whatever
it's like super
seasoning.
Greasy. So
yeah, exactly. I literally, mean, they gave me the bag. I'm literally driving back home, not even 5 minutes, and the whole bag is like covered in grease. I'm like, what the hell? It soaked through the paper bag.
Honestly, when I DoorDash and every time I pick up an order from Five Guys, it just grease. Like it just smells like grease everywhere, and it's like crazy. But like I said, it's like $13 for like a whole meal, and I think that's overpriced. Where Shake Shack, it's like $8-$9.
It's like $10.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd rather go with Shake Shack, bro. Shake
and
Shack.
Their cheese fries and their cheese.
Then you gotta go like In-N-Out.
Yo,
I've never had that.
We've never had it.
Is there In-N-Out around here?
Not here.
No, I think it's
literally
only
two
West
in Colorado.
Coast.
Isn't that only in the West Coast?
Yeah, that's a West Coast thing. They open two in Colorado. When I get back, I gotta try it. Well, I can't try it out. Every single employee got COVID, but
wow.
This one time at Five Guys, me, my brother, and our friend Mehmet went like 2 or 3 years ago. And, like, we're eating and we're basically done. So, Mehmet goes to the bathroom. He gets up to go to the bathroom. And for some reason, this one other kid who went before him did not lock the door to the bathroom. So, Mehmet walks in.
God.
And like walks back to our table. Like, 2 seconds later, he's like, let's go. In, like, the most awkward way.
Dude, what?
We were dying. Like,
dude, that is...
His face was red. He's just like, let's leave. I was like, bro.
God. What other fast food joints would you guys say is your favorite?
Can we talk about the halal carts on campus? I think those are
actually good. Yo, halal. Let's get it, bro.
Halal is S tier.
S tier. S tier food.
Finally, Jesse found his S tier.
So halal, it just seems haram.
I've been literally sitting here trying to think about...
Bro, whoa. Original.
I've been sitting here trying to think about what's S tier. Like, above Wawa... And Sir Doozy just found my S tier.
You already know, boys. It was the campus days.
Yeah,
it's
final evolution of fast food.
Yeah, final evolution. And the thing is, like, you would expect it to be, like, some big, grand, like, building and, like, some fancy schmancy stuff. But, nah, bro. It's just some regular-ass, like, food cart. Not even a truck. It's a food cart. Or, well, actually, but there's probably some trucks. But, like, you literally... It's like, for us here, we go to Temple University if we want a halal truck or just down to the city. And... Like, it's literally the nicest guys ever. Like, there's this one guy on Temple's campus. He's got the Ebby's food truck. He's like, brother, come here, sister. And, like, it's just like the funniest thing ever. He's always, like, trying to, like, rope people in. But, like, I mean, I got to give it to that guy. That guy's been hustling. I've read on the Temple subreddit before. Someone was talking about how they were talking to one of the halal truck guys. And then they asked the guy, like, oh, so what time you guys open until? And then he's like, brother, if I'm here, if you're here, I'm here. I'm like, God damn, that's commitment right there.
Yeah, I've seen him there like late 10 o'clock before. Like,
yeah,
they
dude,
hustle, though.
Yeah, all of them, man. Like, they're just like, the thing is, like, I know a couple of them. They're just like immigrants that came to this country for a better life, and they've been hustling ever since. And there's nothing you can downplay about any of that. They've been on that grind.
Yeah, I feel like a lot of because there was a lot of carts at Temple, and I feel like almost all of them had, like, workers that, like, actually cared about their customers, and you weren't just, like, a customer, really. You're, like, you were really their friend, and, like, what you were saying, how, you know, they'd be there from, like, dusk until dawn, literally just, like, serving food always, and I just remember, like, several times where, like, I would get food, and then, you know, one time they would hook me up, I wouldn't have to pay at all, and like, I don't know, it was just such an awesome experience, to be honest. And the food there, just
to be fair,
way
we
better
are
than
Turkish.
Yeah, I think we.
He's given me free drinks before.
We have.
That's pretty lush.
The food cart owners were Turkish.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about like that foreign, like hustle,
like people that come from, you know, foreign countries, they just have that hustler mindset. What do you guys think that stems from?
So just real quick, right before we get into that, I just want to explain what a halal truck is for people that don't know. It's just, there's, it's not like a type of food. It's just really, it's like an Islamic thing where the certain foods, like meats specifically, they have to be blessed, or it has to be a certain kind of meat. Like, we can't eat pork, obviously. That's considered haram. And then any beef that's blessed properly is considered halal. So that's why it's called halal.
Kind of like
yeah.
kosher.
Yeah, it's like kosher.
Yeah, I guess I could have just said that instead of explaining it. But yeah, anyways.
Well, for $5 to $6, it was amazing, honestly. Like, you would yeah. go to the Chipotle right down the street, it'd be $10, $12. But the halal cart, they'd even give you a free extra water bottle.
yeah, clutch. Right? Yeah, $6 for literally something that you can probably save for later, too.
Yeah, like halal meals. Food was always filling, for sure. So you could get, like, two halal meals instead of one Chick-fil-A meal.
Yo, you remember when we used to race to finish it, Mendy? Which one of us could finish first?
Jimmy would always win because I didn't give a shit.
My yeah, man's just trying to enjoy it.
Bro, that food fucks you up, though.
Well, it depends on how you get it. If you get it with the hot sauce and like the spicy.
I get the white sauce.
The white sauce?
No hot sauce.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine afterwards.
My bowels don't like that.
Maybe you're just yeah, very so
sensitive. I would get all the sauces sometimes.
Me too. The white, the red, and the green sauce.
Damn.
Green? They had green?
Yes, they had green. Turkish coffee. That was more of a newer edition that came in.
That was an updated version.
I think
version.
That was in like
it's a hot fix.
My DLC. Junior.
DLC,
it was
yeah.
It was a hot fix. It was a junior, senior year. DLC.
Let's get back to Emmer's question. So what was it again specifically? It's like, what do we think about the foreign hustler grind?
Like, why do you guys think that people that come from like foreign countries, they just have a complete like different like hustle mindset, and it's like hard to like let go, and they just keep like a lot of times they'll just grind years and years and years. You know what I'm saying? Like, opposed to like someone that's lived here, they'll just, you know, take things easy and you yeah. know.
So, that's a tricky question. Do you guys think that, because I have to ask this to answer this question, do you guys think that Americans that live in other countries, so they're obviously foreigners to those countries, do they have the same work, drive, and ethic that, you know, foreigners in America have?
That's a good question.
Is foreigners, with Emma's question, really just the rest of the world versus America's, like, work drive, or is it just foreigners no matter what country you're in?
I'm saying like foreigners yeah. that come to a different country. It doesn't necessarily have to be like America. Like, you know, a lot of Turkish people go to Germany, they hustle in, you know, Germany, or like any, it could be anything else.
Well, I think if go ahead, Yusuf, go ahead.
I was gonna say, it's not that, like, not every foreigner that goes from one country to another is going because they need it for, like, opportunities or whatever. It could be for other reasons. I mean, it could be for most of them probably are opportunities, but, like, it's still, like, a varying degree. Like, for example, like, my dad and my parents, when they came here, literally all the money my dad had was, it was all loans. He didn't own a single penny. And, I mean, but now, like, obviously, like, we have our own home. We own property in Turkey as well, too. And, like, we're doing pretty well. There's nothing to complain about. But the thing is, there's also foreigners that do come here, and they don't really have, like, a lot of responsibilities like my dad did, for example. So their mindset's still going to be on, like a different, I guess, like, level of hustling. It's more of like them just trying to focus on themselves. But like with my dad, it's like, I don't really care too much about myself. I got to make sure my kids are good, my wife's good, my family, my house, everything's good. So like, that's really important to take into account too. And at the same time, I don't think any of us really have any experience too much when it comes to that either, because either A, we were very young when we came here, or B, we were just born here. So
I mean, you see it from your parents' perspective, kind of, though,
yeah,
if they explain it to you.
I try my best to understand it from their perspective, but sometimes I don't really understand it too much.
I think it also depends on, like, how much they have on the line.
That's
like,
true,
if you're making a big life decision and moving to, like, another country, then you also have, like, the mindset where you don't want to fail, and you kind of want to prove, maybe to yourself and to others, that, like, you know, I made a big decision and I'm not going to fail at know whatever I'm doing. But if you're not making such a big commitment, it might be harder to like stay on course or like be patient throughout the process.
Yeah, like some I know some Turkish people that come here and they already have money, but they just come here because they feel like it or for whatever reason. And like, there's no need for them to continue on and like, you know, hustle as hard as, you know, people like our parents. What about you guys? What do you guys think?
I think that's the big difference right there. It's what are they coming with, right? Like Turkish families that come here that have more money, I find don't hustle as hard. Like I've met, you know, other Turkish people around that are like, their family's pretty chill. Like their dad works in like IT and stuff, and they're just relaxing. Like they aren't hustling, working two jobs, doing all this, or like trying to get as much business as possible, right? They're just living comfortable, normal lives. Whereas like our parents all were like looking for the next job, looking for like ways to make more money, and like just kept going. And I think it definitely has to do with like, what did you come with and like, what do you have?
Also, I was going to say, I completely side with what Umit just said. Typically, hustlers in question are going to be people that didn't have it, you know, completely like affluent growing up. So if foreigners come into this country and they're not rich on the get-go, they're probably coming here to seize that opportunity in America as opposed to wherever, you know, they were living prior. So that's probably like a big reason as to why we typically see foreigners in America have that strong hustle as opposed to Americans
here. It also depends on which country you're actually coming from. Like it could be their work culture is different or the fact that they're less fortunate. Like I mean, for us, for our example, like for Turkey, it's like they're like, let's say imports, for example. You want to get a new phone there, you got to pay a shit ton of money, and you don't get like a crazy salary. So it takes a lot to buy something. But here it's like, oh, you just get a new phone like every year or every 2 years or some shit. Like it's just different in that way. Like they can come here for that opportunity because of what they have at home. But if it's somebody from like, you know, the UK or Germany or like more established countries, they're probably not going to want to come here just for an opportunity.
Yeah, I don't think coming to America creates the hustler. I think these people were already hustlers wherever they came from. I think people just see, like, once they get a hold of the opportunity, they see the results of their hustle. While in their own country, they might not have the opportunities to show what they actually could do if they had the resources.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, who's to say? I mean, if my dad stayed in Turkey, for all I know, maybe we wouldn't be that well off. Maybe we'd be struggling still. But, I mean, thank God nothing like that's going on right now. We're all good. But, yeah, what about you guys? How about Mert? He doesn't say anything.
I mean, I agree with everything that everyone else said.
All right, that's it for Mert. He's done. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, it depends on how much money you actually bring to the next country. If you don't have much, then you're going to have to hustle a lot.
Yeah. What? So let me ask this. Because you and Umit probably have the most friends that are also foreigners besides us, like, because I know you guys are a lot of friends with a lot of like Pakistani Indians, like, yeah. Well,
are they,
is that because we have the same skin color?
Yeah, exactly. No, it's because you guys have told me their Patel count, remember last episode?
Yeah, but are they,
or whatever
friends?
Episode.
Yeah,
acquaintances,
but. All right. What about Kevin though? I mean, he's Chinese, but still. True, yeah. He's foreigner. Well, because like you know them, I'm sure you know this family, right? So like, what would you say, like, how would you compare their family as opposed
to like
ours?
The same, honestly.
Really?
They've been hustling too.
Yeah, like for example, my friend Ali, like his dad did like taxi and Uber driving, and like he would literally like head out in the morning and like work until like 4 a.m.
Wow.
Some days, like on the weekends and stuff. Like now that Ali finished school and he's like a pharmacist, his dad's not hustling anymore. He's just chilling.
His dad's like, Ali, now it's your turn to take care of Bubba.
Yeah, now Ali's hustling. Like that kid freaking works 14-hour days at the pharmacy. Like,
God,
it's crazy.
Damn.
But he makes bang.
Well, yeah, pharmacists make a lot of money.
But at the same time, like now he's the one hustling, like, and his dad is chilling now, like. He bought his dad a house and a car and everything.
He bought his dad a house?
Yeah.
No shot.
Congratulations to them. That's crazy.
But yeah, like his dad would hustle a lot. And like from what I remember, the thing is, I had other Paki friends whose parents were like doctors and stuff, and they weren't hustling as much. Like,
yeah.
They were very comfortable. Like, I had a friend named Ahmed, and like both of his parents were doctors, his mom and dad. And like they were always chilling, always going on vacations and always doing all this stuff. Like, they lived a very comfortable life. Like they kept upgrading to bigger and bigger houses all the time, and like they were super comfortable. But like Like I was saying, the ones that had less money, you could see the hustle in them. Like,
yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's, I mean, I think the consensus here is just depends on what you come with to this country is what determines how much of a, well, it's like Angus saying, like, it's just more of like if you have a hustler and the hustler has $1 million, that hustler is still probably going to be a hustler. Like that mindset is like something, it's like a habit of yours. Like it's just something you do. It's just something you, the mindset you're in, and to change someone's mindset is extremely difficult, let alone even changing your own mindset is even probably even more difficult.
Right. You don't have to come from nothing to be a hustler, or, you know, I think it's like how you think about life.
Yeah.
You can hustle in anything, like not just to make money, but like hustle in whatever you're passionate about.
Yeah, exactly. It's all about what you want to pursue, what you want to do, and it's just all it boils down to is just giving your life meaning, and whatever that meaning is up to interpretation. Whatever you want it to be, and whatever it is. Like for us, we're here. All of us here are diehard podcasters.
Two of us.
Okay, two of us. I could agree with that.
Excuse me.
Sir, three.
Thank you.
Anyone else?
Sir, you
two and a half,
actually.
Two and a half.
Right, so I wanted to give a bit of context because not everybody knows what's going on here. We got three sets of brothers here, me and my brother.
Yes, sir.
We got Mert and Umit.
What's up?
Yo.
And we got Emre and Engin.
Yo, what's up?
And we got the two lone wolves, but they do have siblings.
Damn.
But we're all brothers at heart. You know,
yes.
Brothers from other mothers.
Yeah.
But I wanted to ask you guys, like each of you, like how did your parents come here and what were they seeking? Like, did they tell you the same thing? Like they were looking for opportunity?
Who wants to start?
So I guess I'll start. I mean, my dad always tells me he came. Well, yeah, he said he came for better opportunity. But also it was kind of like lucky with my dad. He had a cousin that was already staying here. And his, you know, he was like, hey, apply for your green card. And at the time, getting a green card could sometimes take like years, like 10 years or something. And, you know, first time he applied, he actually got it. So he just, you know, he was like, why not? He came to America, you know, for the better opportunity. But I mean, yeah, like another thing is like, also I feel, cause we're all Turkish and I'm sure a lot of our parents before they came to America, they were probably living in like, a farm life or
like village,
yeah, villages.
Yeah, village. So like it's like hard labor like work. So you know, it's just a better opportunity in general.
So what was your dad doing before he came to America? Just hard, like you're saying, just manual labor jobs. Is that it?
Well, he was, but he actually moved to Istanbul when he was 18 by himself, and he started getting into like sales and stuff like that, like at the like bazaars, and. You know, just like different types of jobs. I think he said like security guard at one point. Like,
yo, that's a true hustler right there.
Yeah, just like a different multitude of jobs. And then, you know, he got the green card and he just came to America.
Damn, that's clutch. Would you say that's all true or is Emmer making that up, Engin?
Nah, it's true. He was working at this one, like, it's a pretty famous building. I forgot.
It's called
like,
Sabancı.
Yeah, Sabancı Mall or something.
I think
he was working for the security there. And he said like, the people that were like upper tier security, they were offering him a job, but he just got the green card. So he actually like became friends with like the head of security, and he was explaining his situation to him, and he was just like, bro, if you got a green card to America, honestly, just go there. So you could do whatever here, but it's probably not gonna be the same. He told him he should go, and he took his advice. So
it seems like there's a higher ceiling here as far as how far you can go.
Yeah.
Maybe.
I think so. Like so my parents, the way they came here was, so before my dad came, he was working just like regular construction jobs. Him and my uncle, they were working just odd jobs, manual labor, and like before he came, they were working on building a couple houses in the neighborhood that we still or our family still lives in Istanbul. And then after that, or in the middle of that, my dad, so similar to Engin and Emre's dad, my dad applied for his green card, but it was So I think what your dad did was probably the lotto system, the lottery system.
Yeah, I think
is that what it was?
I think it was a lottery.
Yeah, so that's what my dad was telling me. He said, so anybody in Turkey just puts their name in to the system, the green card system, and then every year there's like a quota. I don't know what the number is, but it's whatever they decide is the quota. And then my dad was lucky enough to get his green card. And then once he got his, it was pretty much cake to get my mom and my brother their green cards. And then so first my dad came to America, and he's like, he told my mom he's like, just chill here for a bit. I'm gonna go scope out the area for a few months and make some money, and then I'll come back.
Doing some reconnaissance.
Yeah, pretty much. But then yeah, and then he came here. First place he landed, well, he obviously landed JFK, and the first place he settled down in was Vineland, New Jersey, which is South Jersey. And he got a job working with like a family friend of his. Her family friend's relative in America, in Jersey, owns a restaurant still there in Black Horse Diner. They gave my dad a busboy job, and he worked his way all the way up to become a chef. And actually, I don't think he became a chef there. I think he was like a waiter or something, and then eventually he became a chef at a different restaurant in our area currently. And then after he made some money, he came back and brought my mom and my brother, and then my mom was pregnant with me, and then I was born in New Jersey. And then, yeah, ever since then, we've just been, you know, my parents just been grinding along.
Is there a reason, like, I don't know if this is true or not, but, like, for the quota system, is there a reason why, like, we're living in, like, clusters, or is it just, like, completely random where immigrants end up?
Usually it's like, I mean, obviously when you're in a new country, you want familiarity and like similarity, really. And that's why essentially, that's the basics of why most people like.
So everyone's like choosing just randomly to
like
go to certain locations
or
the government?
Because like imagine you settle somewhere down in like Nebraska and you're like, there's like no Turkish people there.
I would say, I just want to, well, would you want to say something real quick?
I was just going to say, and I guess I'll go into, like, my father coming into the States as well, but...
Elvis Presley.
My father,
yeah,
a.k.a.
Just,
Elvis.
Yeah, go through with your story, and then we'll pick up with this little side bit in a bit.
All right, sure. So, I mean, everything you guys have said for, like, you know, back in Turkey, it being, like, farm life, hard labor, that's pretty much the same case for my side, like my dad. My dad came to the States through quite a convoluted story. So he came as an illegal immigrant, and he first arrived. He didn't first go directly to the United States. He went to Belize in Central America.
No way.
What the
hell? So weird.
And he had to travel his way up through Central America through,
like,
you know,
land?
Yes, through land. But he wasn't by himself. So
that's hustle mentality.
It was,
dude, that's your dad's like above ours.
Oh, just wait.
Actually, before I get into that, I guess maybe like I said, he was doing like hard labor stuff. So he was doing like construction and other painting jobs in Turkey with his father, my grandfather. And for the opportunity, like the better opportunity in America, that's why he decided to leave. So now back to Belize. So he's in Belize. He travels through Central America with 22 other Turkish people. And I'm not going to go through the whole story. That can be a whole other podcast on its own. But pretty much it was him and two other Turks that finally made it. And the rest of the 19 other individuals, I think I did my math right, they got all caught and they got shipped back to Turkey.
No way.
But
that would suck.
Yeah, but my dad, so a little bit about my dad. He's like really wise. I'd consider my dad pretty intelligent. Not like school intelligent because he dropped out, but like just like
cunning.
Cleverness and cunningness. Yeah, I'd say my dad is really cunning. So he eventually, you know, like I said, he and the two other guys, he really, because of him, the other two guys made it through. There were instances where they got caught, but he got out of those instances. And again, long story short, he comes to the States, and his first ever state was, I want to say it was New Mexico. So unlike some of, like, you know, the other guys here, like, your parents went to the East Coast, correct?
Yeah, like I said, my dad,
New
and
Jersey,
my parents landed in JFK.
Yeah,
and
typically, so
here.
I feel like Turkish people are like in Jersey, Delaware, Pennsylvania, Maryland, New York kind of areas. So my dad came into New Mexico, and then he So my dad, again, his nickname is Elvis Presley because he had the looks of Elvis at the time, and because of those looks, he kind of got through the struggles a little bit. He literally stayed with this one chick in New Mexico before eventually he like met my mom and stuff, but he like stayed with this one chick in New Mexico, and he literally lived with her for free. And because he was handsome or whatever.
Damn, what a player.
Dude, it's so, like, I'm cringing just telling the story. what you would call it. But yeah, but long story short, he eventually got to PA with a really long trip with his one other Turkish buddy that was already there, not a guy that he, you know, illegally came there with, another guy that was already there, who knew how to speak English really well. My dad had, like, no ounce of English in him. And then he went to PA, and then that's where he got like a call from his parents about my mom and, you know, the whole marriage thing. So they like married each other, and then they had me. And today my dad is still a painter pretty much. He's like worked with dozens of people, and I don't know who he's working with now, but he's pretty much a painter.
Painter or cook, choose one.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's one of the two.
The decisions so. That a middle-aged Turkish man has to make.
Or a truck exactly. driver.
Or a truck driver. Let's see.
That's true. I know a couple of truck drivers that are Turkish, too. But, yeah.
My dad was.
Yeah, so go into your parents. What about you guys, the Kurt family?
So I know, like, a good bit from what my dad has told me in the past. But, like, obviously he grew up in the village. But he's like a workaholic, if you know him. Like, he
can I just
working.
Say something real quick? My dad's not a legal immigrant anymore.
Do not call ICE.
He's gotten his green card a really long time ago. All right, go back to you.
So when my dad was about 18, I believe, he moved to Bursa, which is a city in Turkey. And he would always flex because he worked at a ski resort in, like, Uludağ. And he also worked for, like, hotels in, like, Trabzon and stuff.
Uludağ's amazing.
And he met some famous people. I mean, he has a photo with Kemal Sunal, which he shows everyone every once in a while, you know?
Dude, you got to bring that down to us.
Yeah.
I got to see that.
I don't know where it is, but he's also, like, claimed, like, that he did, like, he would take, like, suitcases of, like, all these, like, big teams in Europe from soccer because, like, he worked at a hotel.
Like jerseys?
In no, like, they're, like, the players' personal suitcases.
Oh,
he would carry
be like
them
a bellhop?
To the, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's sick.
But then anyways, he decided to go abroad, but he didn't choose the USA at first. And in fact, he wanted to move to England first. So this is what happened.
we would have been British.
We'd have been British, yeah.
Yeah, mate.
So he got a job on a cargo ship, and the funny thing is, the cargo ship, like, most people that signed up for it were literally there just to go to their destination and hop off, because originally it was designed to have it so that the crew members would make the journey and then come back, right? So they go through a couple countries in Europe, I believe Italy, Spain, and they finally arrived at England. And my dad decided, because the next journey was to America, and so he decided to, like, hold off, and he was going to wait till they go on America. During the voyage to America on the cargo ship, the captain or whoever was doing, like, the training stuff, he was, like, basically giving them, like, instructions on what to do. And, like, I guess it was, like, safety shit or, like, instructions, whatever, training. And then in the middle of the speech, he's like, all right, we're going to do half of it now, and then on the way back, we'll do half of it later. The thing is, like, most of the people on that ship, or some of them, were already deciding to hop off from the ship. So I believe they docked in, like, Baltimore or something, right? Or was it New Jersey?
It was Baltimore.
All right, it was in Baltimore. They docked the ship, and my dad said he climbed down the ropes that were anchoring it to the dock. I swear to God.
What?
And, like, I don't know how many people got off, but some of them did get caught, like you said. And then they would, like, go back to the ship, but he got lucky. He was told that if the cops ever stopped him, like, at night, because, like, you know, it's like, what the fuck are you doing walking around at night? He said, they told him to say that he was on his way to the bar. And so he did. Like, he was walking across a bridge, and they're like, what are you doing? He's like, I'm headed to the bar. Like, the thing is, my dad knew English because he actually studied it in Turkey. And so, like, he used it to his advantage there.
Oh, nice.
But he did sleep under the bridge, so.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but he did. He, like, worked at, like, a hotel and then got into other jobs. Pretty much is a cook nowadays. But
he went to somebody gave him, like, a paper for one phone number, I think, and only one phone number in the U.S. And then, like, after he slept under the bridge the first night, Next thing you know, he boards a train to New York, and he's like, he goes by the Twin Towers, and he's like, why is everybody here? Why is there a big line? Because they're like going up to view it at the top of the Twin Towers.
What year was this?
This is day one, 1989.
1989?
Yeah. Literally day one. He went to New York from Baltimore then went to Twin Towers.
One of the OG Turks, bro.
Yo, yeah. Went to the Twin Towers. But then he told me the stories of the beginnings, like how a lot of the Turks here would actually live together in the same house and like have to share like a mattress and stuff. Like, it was like not out of 9-10 people.
Damn, that's crazy.
They had to share a mattress and like... Here 40 years. Yeah, my dad's actually... 40 years? It's been 40 years?
Yo, what?
30? No, 31, bro.
Dude, that was like 40.
89.
I was like 40, Jesus.
I thought you said 81,
so... Yeah, that's crazy. What about... your dad... So when did your dad... Or when did you guys decide to settle down in this area?
So... My dad lived in Jersey first, and then he got a citizenship. Eventually, I guess he got married with my mom sometime in between.
It was similar to like Mendy's story, where it's like the family called. They're like, "Yo, we have some cute girl here in my Turkey."
My dad literally saw my mom for the first time at the wedding.
Yeah, exactly.
No way.
Bruh.
My dad actually knew my mom before that, because like they live in the same neighborhood in Bursa. But they barely knew each other, and they got married in like 95.
Yeah, that's how my parents were. Like my mom's parents knew my dad's parents. I was tripping up on that. And then my dad went to the military to serve for a few months, and then when he came back, that's when he decided to marry my mom. But yeah, I'll keep going on. So your dad's in Jersey.
Yeah, I mean, he did work at like, good, like a decent restaurant, and did like a couple jobs, even did truck driving for a little bit. But then like, you can't really be with your family if you're a truck driver. So he kind of quit that job, because we were born at that time when he was a truck driver.
Yeah, I remember I barely saw my dad, but thankfully rebounded after that. Bought me a beautiful PlayStation 1.
That's
history. Okay.
And that's the gaming journey of Sir Doozy.
That's another time.
And now we live here in this very studio.
Damn. That's sick. And then, I guess, last but not least, the Mert and Umit bros.
You want me to tell or you want to tell it?
Do you remember it all?
I remember most of it.
Go and I'll just add.
All right. So my dad came in 83.
No way.
Whoa.
Damn. Yeah, 21 years old.
Double OG,
21
bro.
Years old. One of the OG Turks. Before in Turkey, his dad owned a lumber mill. And so they would chop down trees and like turn it into planks and sell the woods. His dad died when I want to say he was 16.
Damn, that's too young, man.
Or 18, something like that. It died.
I don't remember.
My dad's dad died when he was like 16 or 18. And then his older brother took over the lumber business and kind of ruined it. So there was no...
Oh, God.
There was no job for my dad there. So my dad ended up going to like tourism school for a while. And he was doing like touristic stuff in Turkey. And then somebody told him to just come to America. And so he said, okay. And then he... got a tourist visa to Canada, flew to Canada, and came into the U.S. through Canada.
Illegally, but...
Ooh.
And then he went to New Jersey, started working as a busboy in a restaurant.
Yep.
Would practice his English there and became a waiter there eventually. And then he met this American woman and married this American woman for a couple years. And then they got divorced at some point. And then
he did it to get like a green card or something, right?
My dad did the same thing.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. The thing is,
you got to do what you got to do.
I got an older sibling.
From that, there was two kids, not
half siblings. Yeah.
The person he married already had kids.
Oh, so there were are they considered step siblings?
Yeah. I don't know if they're still.
We never met them though.
Well, it would be because you guys were born after they divorced, right? So they would never be considered
way after.
Yeah, so they wouldn't be considered step. But I mean, that's kind of funny though. How a lot of like not even just Turkish
it's a glitch.
Immigrants, But a lot of immigrants in general, they just a lot of them get married with people that are citizens.
That was
citizens.
A meta at the time.
A Turkish meta.
All right, so I can't really tell what these guys are talking about.
It's the green card.
We're having our own little conversation.
They're having their own conversation. But I mean, I don't know what your guys' opinion on it is, but I think it's okay as long as both parties know what's going on. Because if the the one person marrying the other is doing it and they're not telling the other person what their intentions are, I think that's kind of scummy. But aside from that, I mean, it's fine. But yeah, go on.
But yeah, so he gets married. They were together for like 5 years, I want to say, and then they get divorced. And then my dad's been working a bunch of different jobs at this point. Like, but he's steadily been a waiter. His English had gotten pretty good from being a waiter. And then he tells his sisters like he wants to get married. And so they said, okay, we'll start looking for somebody for you. And then they're like, hey, we found somebody. So my dad at 28 flew back to Turkey after not leaving after being in the U.S. since 21. So he was already here for 7 years, never left during that time. Goes back to Turkey, meets my mom. They agree to get married. So then they come here. And then
did they first settle down in this area?
They settled down in New Jersey.
Oh, New Jersey.
And then, but when my parents got married, my dad was living in Pennsylvania. Oh, and my mom didn't like the apartment. So they moved into a different apartment. I remember my dad saying that my mom was very picky on the apartment she wanted.
Yeah.
I always wonder how all of our parents met each other. Like, that's actually pretty interesting. I never had to ask.
I mean, my mom did say that she knew Ümit and Mert's parents like a long time ago.
Right.
And then they were like mutual friends with another couple that lived in Jersey, Chanel. You guys might even know him. Chanel, do you guys know him?
Sean?
Chanel.
I think I know. Did he used to like play soccer a lot?
The real estate
Sean?
Guy?
Yeah, he's like a tall, skinny guy. And he was married to another lady named
Phyllis.
I might
know him. I don't know.
No, I don't know.
All right, but anyways, that's the first time I learned that my parents knew Ümit and Mert's parents.
I mean, my dad was one of the like the OGs, so most of your parents probably knew my parents in some way, shape, or form.
He might have guided at least my dad because they both go to the Kaaba so much.
That's one of those. I actually never asked my parents how they met your parents, but I remember.
I'm about to ask my parents how they met everyone.
We were
here.
Really, really young. When
same.
We've actually known each other for probably like 15 years now.
The thing is, like, I met Emre and Engin before everybody else here, and that was when
we lived in the same apartment complex.
No, you guys lived in Brittany Springs. I lived in Lakeview. Actually, I shouldn't be giving this specific. Anyways, I mean, we don't live there anymore. Yeah, I guess Lakeview Manor and Brittany Springs. We live far from there, anyways. But that's where I used to live in there, and then you guys lived in another one.
And then we moved to the same neighborhood.
Yeah, you guys first moved, and then like a couple years after, right when I started my kindergarten year, that's when I moved to the same neighborhood as Emre and Engin, and then they sadly left me again. Yeah.
But then I still remember the day I met Ümit and Mert. And it was like really awkward at first, but then we just all started playing GameCube.
Such a unifying concept.
Sadler still can't play that GameCube, by the way.
Dude, actually, like later on, like I met like Engin and Emre, like me and my brother met Engin and Emre that way because we went over Ümit's house because we known each other for a couple of years. And I think, and I'm like, who are these kids? And then we're all playing like SpongeBob SquarePants Lights Out or something.
Yeah. I remember that.
It was a great day.
That was a great day. Yeah. I didn't want to leave.
I remember meeting. Well, I don't know if I met Sadler and Cirque at Jamit or at my house.
Bro, we've been to your house like long ago.
I think so, yeah. Because I remember this is when me and my brothers, we were sharing a room downstairs.
Right.
I remember you guys were there. We were playing GameCube. You guys were loud on my GameCube, though. So so you guys got your GameCube fixed one way or another.
Don't think Yusuf's all nice, because I remember one of my first memories with Yusuf was when he stole my shoe with his friends, with his American friends, and ran away with
me. I don't remember
I was crying to my mom. I was like, Yusuf stole my shoe.
I don't remember any of that. So I apologize. I don't recall any of that.
Was mad annoying.
Yeah, that's why he wasn't allowed to play on my GameCube.
I just remember them Jama days. Sadler was fucking crazy.
Yeah.
I mean,
if anything, Jama brought us a lot closer than we were.
Jama, I feel like I've met everybody here
Mendy.
At Jama.
I met you. Me and Mendy.
Oh, yeah. We lived
in the same apartment.
We
would just be chilling. Do you remember Miraç?
I don't.
He was like a big fat kid.
that lived in the same complex as us?
Yeah, I think he lived.
Only Turkish people I knew. I think he lived in the building next to was me, you, and Nursen. That was the only Turkish people that I knew that lived in that.
You never lived in Ben Salem?
You don't remember? But what about?
What's your uncle?
What are you talking about? Remember? No. What about your aunt, bro?
Well, I slept over, but like, okay. I didn't live with them.
Because we lived in the same complex as your uncle.
The one that was near the elementary school?
You're talking about
Janine? And Michael's Diner?
Yeah.
I didn't know you guys lived there. That's
we
interesting.
We did.
Dude, yeah. There was
so did
a Turks there, too.
Nudie lived
so
there? Nudie.
I didn't even know that.
Okay. That's crazy.
What? Wait, you guys all lived in that complex? That's where, like, my...
Didn't you live there, Amit?
No, we never lived in that complex. My my cousins lived there with my aunt.
Dude, there was, like, only, like, 5 buildings there, and I think there was so many Turkish
dude,
people
there.
There
was. That's, like, a Turkish hub. But
my dad used to work at that Michael's restaurant. Which Michael's was a really nice
My grandfather
guy.
Used to work there, and my aunt.
Burned down, right? Died.
Isn't Michael's shut down?
No.
No, my dad stopped working there years ago.
I remember going there once.
Didn't
it
like burn?
Dead.
But like, almost all Turkish people know that guy because
he was during COVID. He was
no,
really
it was
nice
before
guy.
That.
Wait, what?
The owner was a really nice guy.
It's probably like during hours where they're.
I think it was just slow hours.
Yeah.
Mendy, you don't remember. What was I gonna say? What about your aunt? Is that your aunt that
Are
lives
talking
there?
Talking about
I forget her name.
Asiateza?
I guess so. Yeah.
Oh wait.
Her and isn't it Yeshad or something?
Oh no. That's Nurten Teza.
Nurten.
Yeah, they live there currently.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You didn't know them.
I believe they.
Didn't they live
well,
there
they
too?
Well, they didn't. They moved in after, I believe.
How Damn. Deep does this go?
It doesn't end.
See, like,
my memory is so far.
So I was actually born in the same room as Mendy.
we all are actually born in the same room.
We were
room.
All
dad,
born at this podcast table holding hands as infants.
My dad knew Mendy's dad way before I knew Mendy. Like,
that makes sense, because
I was
going
to say, I feel like all of our dads know each other one
I don't
way
think
or another.
I actually knew Mendy back in 92, before I was even...
Born?
Yeah.
Before you even...
Spare planes, before your soul entered your body.
But
I feel like the last person I met was Mendy out of everybody here.
I think the
and
last person I met out of everybody here was probably Emmett and Mert.
Like, I met you.
You met them at
But Jana. We didn't talk. But I feel like
no,
Mendy I met later.
You guys met at the mosque.
I mean, I knew Mendy before.
I met Yusuf at your place.
Yeah.
But, like, every time we would get there, Yusuf and his brother would just awkwardly not say anything and leave.
It's because of my brother, bro. My brother, he was just like...
Bro, I remember that. I was trying to get you guys to be friends because you guys were both my best friends. And I was
dude, that would have been so... The thing is, like, I wanted to, but my brother was like... The thing is,
and
like...
And then Umit brought up Minecraft, and then it was...
Yes, at Gigi's Pizza. I still remember
Gigi's
that, bro.
Pizza.
Gigi's Pizza. You were there, too, yeah, bro. Your dad took us out, bro.
He was like explaining Minecraft. He's like, oh yeah, it's these blocks, you break them, you build
and
stuff.
I was like, oh,
wait,
Minecraft? I'm like,
that's when you guys, like,
that's when
you guys,
that's
when
Yusuf and I finally became friends.
No way.
Yeah, this
years.
Was one, this was like
that's
one,
when we
what
became
the
friends.
Beta, listen, beta 1.8, bro.
Bro, alpha.
I mean, I've played since alpha, but
yeah.
I mean, I didn't start playing until this kid mentioned it to me. I'm like, oh, that sounds pretty cool. We can play later. And then we had the X-Fire. We had the X-Fire.
Yeah.
We're talking through there.
My brother got us into all the games, even League of Legends too.
Yeah.
Oh god.
Well, you.
Yeah,
I thought you.
Mistake, but
I'm pretty sure Mert was the one that got me in. Or,
well,
no,
my
it was
brother
you.
My
got
brother
me
got
into,
me into League.
No, Mert got me into League.
And you got
the cancer spread like
Ramadan.
Crazy.
And you got
and
it.
We're playing till like sold.
Well, Yusuf got me into League. I don't know how that happened.
Wait, what?
It just Mert didn't even tell Engin. He just told me.
Me and Mert were playing one summer.
I remember the day I was playing with.
Everybody would make fun of us. We were playing that game. I don't know why. And then everybody just started playing.
I was teaching Emre and Serdar to play. Serduzzi quit like immediately though.
Yeah.
But Emre kept playing.
I remember I was there too, and Serdar was trying to play League.
Dude, because my dad like bought this one internet package that was like so cheap, and it was like 5 megabits per second, and it took me like 3 hours to download this game. And I was like,
no joke.
I was like, this
five
is not,
megabits.
I was like, this is not worth it. Like, and my computer obviously at the time couldn't run it. And then next thing you know, I think I had to go to work after that, and I was so mad.
Bro,
I was tight.
If Emra's old computer could run that, I'm pretty sure anything could.
No, you haven't seen
Shout
our
out
old computer.
Gateway.
Was it a gateway?
The funny thing is, he would be complaining he was lagging the whole time, and no one would believe him. And I walk into his room. It's literally teleporting his character across the screen.
Dude, the first time I saw that shit, I'm like, Emre, I can't yell at you anymore, because like it makes sense why you're like.
The computer was literally just a monitor. Like there was no.
Oh, it was an all-in-one.
There
it
was
an
no
all-in-one
box.
Yeah, yeah.
It was just a monitor.
This kid would be literally getting five.
And it was
per second.
And it was touchscreen too. So.
But yeah, that was...
Shout out to my friend Brian Feckety for getting me both into Minecraft and League, and that's how I spread it to all of you.
Damn, bro. It's always Americans spreading these cancerous diseases.
Well, I'm just half American.
Just messing, bro. Relax. So, what was that? You had that one question, bro. I want to get back to it. What was that question again?
Oh, yeah. I was like, is it just a coincidence that, like, immigrants tend to like live in the same area,
yeah,
or is it like a government funded program, or like
that's a great
for
question.
Settlement or something?
I was gonna say it's probably just because of the fact that it's more populated and it's closer to Turkey than the West Coast or the Central States.
It's about connections. Like,
yeah,
so
I would agree.
Two things 100%. I would say: in the U.S., the refugee program puts people where their communities are at. So that type of immigration, like if you're a refugee from like Syria, right, they'd put you in Philly because there's a Syrian community in Philly. If you're Ethiopian, they'd put you in Dearborn, Michigan, where there's like an Ethiopian community. Like, they purposely do that. But for the Turks here, based off my dad's story, it's like one Turk comes here, they hear some Turk somewhere else, they're like, yo, come over here, I'll connect you, I'll hook you up with a job here, I'll do this, and literally it just trickles in like that, where it's like it's all connections. Like, one person came and then they said any other Turk will help you out, get settled, find a job, everything. And that's just sort of how it worked. It's like they all came to the same area because the Turks helped each other out, like when they first immigrated.
It's like a movie, bro.
Yeah, it's exactly how my dad explained it. Because like I said, he came, first place he went to was Jersey because a family friend's friend is already here. And like my dad was like, I'll just go here and see if he can give me a job. And then they moved here because there's so many Turkish people here and they already knew him. So my dad was like, just might as well stay here. And that's it. But like, I think the main reason.
It's not what you know, it's who you know.
Yeah, I agree.
Exactly, my brother.
But I think like it could also vary too. Cause like, I feel like the main reason we also don't see a lot of Turkish people on the West Coast, or at least as far as I know, it's probably because the closest or the fastest way to get to America from Turkey is to land on the East Coast. And most Turkish people, like we're saying, since there's already a big community, they don't really see a need to move away.
And like, I've met the like Turkish community in Denver, and like the second I got there, they were like, yo, what can I help you with? Do you need help moving? Do you need like do you need furniture? Do you need this? So it's like,
exactly.
Like, once you're there, like the Turkish community, like we just pull together to help you out. They're like, yo, if you need to move at like 6 a.m., let us know. We'll get three guys. We'll get three trucks. We'll like get whatever you know. I was like, what the heck? I just got here. I just wanted to introduce myself.
Bro, Turkish people have like this brotherhood, man.
Is that brotherhood?
I love it.
Bro.
You know what's funny though? There's this brotherhood, but the thing is that brotherhood stops when any type of money is involved. Any type of money, bro.
That's how my dad and my uncle stopped talking.
Literally, like, I whenever I see like a lot of Indian communities, because I see this a lot in their communities, I'll see like literally you have like huge families or just like big groups of friends. They'll have like 10, 20 people. They'll be living in a huge house.
Don't think they don't have problems either, though.
Yeah, I'm not saying they don't have problems. Externally. What I'm just saying is I like the idea that the mindset that they have where they're just like, let's just pull everything together and then we'll start growing together. And then once we feel like we're, you know, have enough to split it amongst each other and be, you know, satisfied, then we'll do it once that point comes. But Turkish people, they, as far as I've seen, all these Turkish people that I've met, no one really has that mindset. It's always like you're on your own, buddy, when it comes to money.
I think Turkish people have like an innate feature where they just like want to be on top. They don't want to like share.
Yeah, anything. After the Ottomans got shit on.
I think naturally, Emre's kind of right here. We also have Kandavas in Turkey. Pretty interesting concept.
Yeah. Like,
I think it's just the cultural like perspective on
blood feuds.
Yeah.
Kandava translates blood feuds. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Money is definitely a thing. Like, when you first come, they'll set you up with a job and anything like that. But like, if you start owing someone money, like, or get into a situation like you worked for someone, they didn't pay you, all of a sudden, like, things break down, like friendships end, people stop talking to each other. They're like, oh, he refused to pay me, or he didn't pay me what he was supposed to.
Precisely.
And all of a sudden, like,
as they should.
And they should,
right?
If somebody's ripping
especially
somebody off.
In this capitalist economy, I would say.
Because sometimes, like, older Turkish people that have been here longer do take advantage of new Turkish immigrants, where they'll be like, oh, I'll give you a job, right? And they'll pay them less than what they would pay somebody that has already been here, just because that person doesn't know what he's supposed to get.
Yeah.
And then they find out, and then it's sort of like, oh shit, like things start to fall apart.
Can we also talk about why other countries don't have as much opportunity as America?
I feel like that's something. I mean, we're kind of reaching towards what's it like, what time is it? Where are we at, sir?
Hour 10.
Hour yeah, 10. I mean, yeah. I mean, that's a really good point. Let's put that on the back burner because
that's a long conversation to have, because
that's a really long.
The U.S. runs on an immigration economy, so that's.
I was
part
more
of it.
So leaning towards like mafia-controlled environments in Turkey and stuff, because like smaller. Because if you think about it, like the car washes and stuff in Turkey. They're all mafia operated. Like you can't open any type of business you want in.
How am I gonna go to Turkey and be like, is this car wash mafia owned? Like no one's gonna tell me that.
They, no, but they
they'll,
are.
They'll
though.
Come tell you.
Yeah. you can't open it's whatever you want to open. Like it's actually happened. My uncle's told me a few stories. Like he opened a bakery and he was making a lot of money, and the mafia didn't like that because they funnel money, they launder money through these businesses, and they force them to shut it down. It's either you gotta go head to head with these people, or you have to shut down your business. You can't. That, but like
or
in
you
America,
pay up, but that
or you pay with
well.
Your life. Yeah, you have to pay tax. You have to pay a heavy tax. Yeah. In America, it's not like that. Like you can literally do
sure.
whatever you want. Well,
I mean,
it depends
like
on the
some
area.
Places. Yeah, it's
like,
not like that anymore.
There used to be the Italian mob. There used to be the Irish mob. Like,
yeah.
It used
back
to
in
be
the
like
day,
all,
it was
all garbage.
Pretty good,
like
pretty
all
bad.
Garbage in New York and Chicago and stuff were all run by the mob. Like you couldn't start up a garbage service.
Yeah.
Because like they'd take you out.
Yeah, waste management was run by.
I think
Al Capone.
It's still like that in Turkey though. Whereas in America, it's more. I feel like that time
regulated
period is
just
gone.
Yeah, the FBI cracked down hard on.
Yeah,
the
Turkey's
mobs
been getting better lately though. I would say.
Yeah, I think it's just like the government system is becoming a little more centralized. Although I don't quite agree with that, but it is taking an effect on like the mafia culture going on there.
Yeah. Yeah, like I said, I think that whole thing is really in conversation on its own, man. And that's a really long conversation.
I do want to talk about that, but
yeah we like I said, bro, we can definitely talk about it some other time. We got plenty of, you know, ideas that we can throw around.
I mean, just the different mafias in like different countries is just a fascinating conversation.
I would love
to
talk about the Yakuza. That'd be sick.
Like the Yakuza, the Sicilian mob, completely controlling the Sicilian government. Like the mafias do some crazy things.
Which Yakuza? Oh, wait, that's Full Squad. My bad.
Yakuza Zero.
Alright, but anyways, I think that's a really good spot for us to end. Any last comments, questions, concerns?
Mozzie15.com.
Check out the boy Mozzie on SoundCloud.
Yeah, Mozzie about to come up.
Just know that without all of our parents' journeys to this country, we would not be here right now
providing you with
speaking into the microphone.
Amazing podcast experience.
What's up, Mandy?
No, that just hit.
All right, boys, let's really sign deep. Out. So we've been the Deep Thought Podcast, everybody. Thank you for joining in, and hope you guys have a great day. Bye.
Peace.
Bye. Take care.
Take care. Wow.